Verse 12, and behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me, to give every man according as his work shall be. So I also mentioned that one of the ways I say Christ comes quickly is, like I said a few moments ago, you will die. When you die as a Christian, and God has carried you through to the end for salvation, you obtain the resurrection. That's just a few years away. Jesus Christ will return in your lifetime, just right at the end. We will die, and the next thing we're going to know is the resurrection. Psh, there he is. So for relative time, to all generations, he comes quickly. When he finally comes, it'll be, we'll all have felt like we just lived and boom, there he was. He has his reward to give every man according as his work shall be. Not according to the works of the law, at least for us. For them that are without, yeah, he's going to judge them by his standards of righteousness. His judgments are going to be there, and their conscience also witnessing against them. We are going to be judged by our works as well, because we are his creation, created in Christ Jesus under good works. We are his workmanship. That's why we appear at the judgment seat of Christ. That's why we don't appear at the white throne judgment. That's why we obtain salvation, because we are his work. So every man receives according to his work, the righteous and the unrighteous. It's not by works of righteousness which we have done, but by his grace, the grace that taught us to walk a certain way, the grace that taught us to believe in the promises of God, the grace that taught us to persist and diligently seek those promises until we obtain them, the grace that gave us the wisdom to seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, the grace that made us hungry and thirsty after righteousness so that we pursued it. All those works happening in us by grace. There's nothing we can do to earn God's grace. But God's grace gives us everything. All those desirable things. All those things promised. And it's such a shame the way so many Christians just really don't understand what great riches they have in Christ. And you go into churches and what are they preaching about? Earthly things. Earthly things. They mind earthly things. And they rob people of what their inheritance ought to be. We'll see what we can do. We will see what we can do about that. Verse 13, I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. I often muse that, you know, the least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than than John the Baptist. We say, well, wow, the least in the kingdom. Well, Jesus is first and last. He is the least. He is the servant of all. And Lord of all. He that is greatest among you must become your servant. He was speaking of himself. He is the greatest and the least. Because he served all. He gave his life a ransom for many. He subjected himself to the most humiliating sort of torture and death. That we might inherit his inheritance. Which was his by right. But is ours by grace and adoption. We have no right. Except that he declares it so. Blessed are they that do his commandments, that they may have the right to the tree of life. But we don't have the right to his inheritance, except that we by his, you know, are we worthy of God? No. But he makes us worthy. Do we have the right? No, but he gives us the right. Blessed are they that do his commandments. Well, there's what, number one, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy might, with all thy strength. Number two, thou shalt not make thee any graven image. Go down the list of the Ten Commandments. Is that the commandments he means? I say no. The Old Testament is filled with commandments and laws which were nailed to the cross. This is his commandment, that ye should believe on the name of his Son, Jesus Christ. That's what John had said in his epistles. You think that's any different here? Believe on his name. Jesus. No. Believe on the one who walked on the water, who spoke the words you read in the Sermon on the Mount, the one who raised from the dead, the one who sent forth an apostle named Paul, who spoke all the things concerning him that were true, who taught us all this grace and all this knowledge that we might obtain the promises of God in Christ. All that, it comes together. Follow him. Do his command. If you believe on him, you will follow him. If you believe on him, you're going to want to know what he says. It's just like I said before with worship God. Worship God. Well, what's that mean? I worship you. No. It's like some dude lately was telling me, oh, bless you. He didn't mean it sincerely, but he's like, bless you. He'd just gotten done calling me the devil. And then he wanted to sort of throw a little sugar on top to show how righteous he was. You know, blessing his enemies. I'm like, no. You don't say bless you to bless people. You bless people by doing things for them that bless them. Like James taught. James was very wise, the Lord's brother. He said, hey, you tell someone be warm and filled, but you don't give them the necessary things to be warm and filled, like food, clothing. You say to someone, bless you, but you don't bless them. All you do is take. All you do is hurt. All you do is rob. All you do is blaspheme and curse. To bless someone is to do good to them. That's how you bless someone. Bless you. Thank you. Thank you for your empty words. And not to say it's nothing wrong with telling someone bless you, but you gotta understand that if there's not something more behind it, it's kind of empty. You know, it can be kind of an empty thing. Like you're saying, like, yeah, God bless you, because I sure won't. You know, right? In fact, the way I do blessing is by I basically pass it off on God all the time. You know, like I tell God, hey, God, this guy Johnny needs a blessing. I could bless him, but I don't think I will. Why don't you do it? It's empty. But bless you. And then maybe you do something that blesses them. Give them a word of encouragement. Even an encouraging word, you know, besides just bless you, you could say something that's meaningful. I really love that thing you did or whatever. You know, people when they get specific, it becomes more of a blessing because it lifts them up. Just bless you, though. It's kind of an empty saying. It sort of got off on a track there, but it does say, blessed are they that do his commandments. We are blessed when we do his commandments. It's a blessing to us. Doing his commandments blesses us. We should believe on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and keep his commandments. It does say that. But the commandments of God in Christ are not the same as they were in the Old Testament. You don't have to be circumcised. You don't have to wear fringes on your garments. You don't have to wear phylacteries. You don't have to follow the dietary restrictions that the Israelites did.